On the show today, we have South Carolina Federal Credit Union's very own Dr. Troy Hall talking about his new book, Cohesion Culture, Proven Principles to Retain Your Top Talent. So check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have an author in the making, Dr. Troy Hall, Chief Strategy Officer for South Carolina Federal Credit Union. Troy, how are you, sir?
Well, if I were any better, Mike, I'd be you.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. But I'd like to be in your shoes right now because you just wrote a book, so that's pretty cool.
I did. Thank you. Thank you so much. It was really a great opportunity to do that and to tell a little bit about a credit union story, you know, that sometimes does not always get told.
Indeed. And the title of the book is called Cohesion Culture, Proven Principles to Retain Your Top Talent. So give us a quick, before we dive into the weeds a little bit here, give us a quick overview of the theme of the book. Obviously, it's, you know, how to retain top talent, which is a really important, very timely message as well today. So I want to get your take on this.
Well, the war really today is on retention. It's not always just about acquisition, and organizations forget that. So cohesion culture is about creating the environment where people have a sense of belonging. They feel like they're a part of something really special, and they're really included, and they are allowed to contribute. And through that process, that creates value because their contribution means something. So it's about creating this culture of belonging, of value, and commitment. And the commitment aspect of cohesion culture is a little unique because in commitment, the organizational leaders find ways to build success for the individual, the employee, and then align that success to desired organizational outcomes. Mm-hmm. And in some organizations, they have great culture, but they leave, but the commitment gets messed up because they forget to focus on what the employee needs and wants, and they only focus on what the organization needs.
Got it. So just to kind of step back a little bit here, why did you write it and who's the book for?
Well, the motivation for me, you know, and you know, as you've mentioned before, I'm the Chief Strategy Officer at South Carolina Federal Credit Union, and I'm working with an amazing team of people, and we have earned the distinction of best places to work. And not only in our state, but, you know, we were also named just recently by the CU group as the second best credit union to work for in the nation.
I saw that.
And then by Glassdoor, we are number 11 in our category size, and there are over 800,000 companies that participate in Glassdoor, and our CEO, Scott Woods, is number 5 in that group.
Wow.
And so individuals would say to us, how do you guys become a best places to work, and what's your turnover like? And so it really just became a great opportunity to tell the story. And so we use the Living Laboratory at South Carolina Federal Credit Union as a basis for this conversation around cohesion culture. And the book has three parts. It's about be a leader, build the culture, and then bring it to life. And in the bring it to life, we use practical application of what does it look like within a work environment to make this happen. And we provide you with a cohesion culture retention model so you can actually now say, oh, here's a visual of what it looks like. And this book is perfect for individuals who own their companies, for C-level executives like the CEO or the chief culture officer, chief people officer, and certainly HR professionals. And it's for really, and without watering it down too much, mm-hmm. if you are a leader, and in our case, everyone who works for us in our organization are leaders, you need this book so that you have the formula for how you can all work cohesively together and know what you're working toward.
And that starts at the top, right? And then kind of trickles down all the way.
Absolutely. And so we would never be able to accomplish what we have done without Scott Wood's endorsement. The CEO, and I tell you this in the book, the CEO can unravel the program even with the slightest comment. And it could be an innocent comment that's made in passing and could truly unravel things. And the idea for it is to not have that happen. And then you have your senior leadership in HR. And for us, it's Leslie Norris, our senior VP of HR. And so Leslie's voice at the senior management table is important. So her voice at the table, along with Scott's leadership, and then the rest of the strategic leadership team then has an opportunity to really build in this conversation of how we work together. Mm-hmm. And anyone who is supporting individual growth and development is a talent retention expert. So I don't want to take away from what I can do, but what I'm saying is the book will help others become that talent retention expert, because especially when you get the leadership at the top, mm-hmm. getting it right.
Yeah, and that's a huge challenge for credit unions today, is not only attracting that talent, but retaining that talent, because there's so many opportunities out there, and also with the unemployment, you know, levels being so low right now, I mean, it seems like the employee has a lot of leverage right now. So how do credit unions address the issue or the challenge of retaining top talent? Because once you got it, man, you got to hold on to it, or else there's other opportunities out there.
You do. And so one of the ways to do that is to not just focus on extrinsic motivators. So part of what we discover in the book is taking a look at motivational theories and how those practical things apply each and every day. So motivation can be driven around the conversation of affiliation. So people can be motivated when they affiliate. That means they belong. They want that. That is a human element. So mm-hmm. we're designed to cohabitate. And there are some exceptions, but we're not dealing with the exceptions. And so you already have the sense of belonging, and people want to belong. So it's being acknowledged for belonging. So it has to do with how does the organization allow that person to contribute? One of the characteristics that the workforce has today is a strong sense of entrepreneurial spirit, autonomy, collaboration. The people in the workplace today, and it's not just the millennial generation, it is all workers coming in today, they want to have some responsibility. And they want to know that they have a voice, they want to know what's my level of authority, and they want to know there's a future for me. And when you can make those things happen, you create that belonging, which is the first element of cohesion, and you have to get the belonging. You can't just belong to the team and not the organization. You can't belong to the organization and not belong to the team. You got to belong to it holistically. And then the value comes when individuals know exactly what their job is, and not just, oh, here's my job description, but when you take time to tell people how what they do relates to what you want to have accomplished, people get this great sense of understanding that I have purpose. Mm-hmm. We seek purpose. And we want meaningfulness in what we do. And when we respect people for what they bring, give them a voice to contribute, they have the sense of belonging, you now have completed two components of the cohesion culture, and you're ready to move to commitment. And so part of what I say in the HR world that disrupts folks a little bit is this. Cohesion is what's in. Engagement is out. Cohesion is in. Yeah. Engagement is the byproduct of a team working together. That's what you identify as engagement. You have to see the behavior. Cohesion studies you intrinsically and allows you to tell how you are feeling and connecting in your value to gain this commitment. And what people expect in cohesion is that you will commit to their goals and dreams and align them with what you want the organization to do. Mm-hmm. When you bring in new people and the very first thing you tell them is what their sales goals are, how to use the computer, and where's the water cooler in the bathroom, and your focus is always on what I want, you have left the person out, and so you're not building a cohesive environment. Yep. So the really cool thing in the book is that you understand that cohesion is about creating belonging and value and commitment. And then you can put your own spin on it, because in the chapter 2 about build your culture, it talks about how you take those items and make them your own. So it's not about replicating and saying that every culture has to be defined as cohesion culture. What I'm saying is it's the underlying framework from which you build your stories, your traditions, your rituals, your language, your symbols. All of those go on top of the foundation.
Now, I mean, this message, based on some interviews I've done and research that I've done on the younger generations, millennials and Gen Z and stuff, this message that you're talking about, the strong purpose, the cohesion, all that type of, that seems to resonate really well with them. And so
it resonates with mind? Yeah, you're right, Mike. It resonates with everyone. So I know you're not a millennial generation, but do you want to belong in an organization where
that's
you
what I was going to get apart? To. Like, yeah. I think this resonates for not only for them, but everybody. You're exactly right.
Everyone, exactly right. And so it just so again, some of the motivation is organizations have claimed for years that employees are their greatest asset, yet they have done little to really promote it. And to do it. And I believe that South Carolina Federal Credit Union is one of the organizations that got it right. And why I can say that is this. When I talk about best places to work, just remember, it's not because management filled out an application to these organizations. It's because these organizations drilled down and interviewed our employees. And our employees said that what management said is what management did. Mm-hmm. And the chasm between those two was almost nothing. And as a result, the employees claimed us as a best place to work, not us. And that's the validation. Three separate organizations from three separate viewpoints looked at us. So we said, we have got to tell this story. And the credit union story is also so undertold anyway. Mm-hmm. And so this gives us an opportunity. And it's a living laboratory because when people look at it, they go, well, I'm a little skeptical. Is this really going to work or not? Well, the only way to solve skepticism is proof. So our living laboratory is the proof, as well as those outward designations that have been attributed to the way the employees feel about our organization.
Yeah. And so, I mean, what, as you're talking about this, I'm wondering, so what is the culture like at South Carolina Federal Credit Union? How have you guys kind of set the bar, so to speak, for others to kind of maybe even emulate or strive for, that type of stuff? What's the culture like there?
So, for us, our culture is exactly that. Each and every day when an employee comes in, they receive the affirmation that they are in the right spot. We do not take it for granted that just because they showed up on time, did their work, and don't bother me, that they are cohesively in the group. Mm-hmm. We spend time making sure that happens. We do things like so these are just some of the things that we do. And again, organizations can do them differently, but it's about communication. So we do what we call huddles, and we bring the team together before we start, and they have an opportunity to talk about what was great about this individual. We speak life to the future, so we don't have meetings that just report the past. We certainly do respect the past, and we make sure that there's a part of an understanding. But a lot of energy is on tomorrow, and the energy is on what the other person wants to do. One of the most important strategic decisions we made in this organization that our HR team led was putting in continuous performance management. And so Leslie and her group led this initiative so that employees receive continuous feedback, and they can do so through a program that is through our mobile app, through a desktop. It allows for this communication to happen, and we framed it much like the way you would a basketball game, where the coach is talking to the team, putting in comments, you know, is encouraging. We always think of coaching as encouraging. Now, you may hear of coaches who yell and scream and try to motivate that way. We're not talking that. We're talking about the coach who says, that was good, Mike. What you did was great. Now, let me tell you, if you had passed that ball to Bill, or if you had included Susie in this, we could have maybe got there faster. Mm-hmm. So let's think about how that works the next time. And it's on the spot. We don't do annual performance evaluations that wait for 365 days before we tell somebody whether they did something good or bad. And we don't believe that coaching should only be for the criticism. Coaching should be for the praise.
That is spot on, sir. Spot on. And so this is all part of becoming kind of a best place to work, right? And this is kind of
Yes, absolutely. And so the book gives you that opportunity framework. And I took a little creative liberties with it. So the book has my flair for reading, for novels, for movies and music. And so I've created practical ways to interpret the information by relating it to a story. Mm-hmm. So for instance, in chapter 6, which is No Place Like Home, I relate how the cohesive cultural environment worked with Dorothy, the Tin Man, the Scarecrow, and the Cowardly Lion, and how all of that now plays into it. And so if you've ever watched The Wizard of Oz, you never maybe thought of it as they're working as a cohesive team,
yeah.
But I actually use that to illustrate to others of how you bring it to life. And what happens to these practical things that you can go back and recall, it really helps your learning because you don't have to reinvent or imagine it for yourself. Mm-hmm. You can take that imagery and then expand on it. And that's what I hope I do through some of the stories that I've shared throughout the book.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought the Wizard of Oz thing up because, you know, most of us, if not all of us, have seen the movie at some point or some parts of it or whatever. But from my recollection, it took the four of them or the five of them to get on the same page. But once they were on the same page, they knew each other's strengths and weaknesses, and they knew how to work together, especially toward the end when they had to defeat the Wicked Witch of the West.
Sure.
So I love the whole analogy there, how you put that together. That's really, really cool. But in the beginning, they were like, who are you and why are you here and how do we work together type of thing. But as time went on, they learned how to take advantage of their strengths and weaknesses.
Yes, and you brought up another great point that I want to make is that many times when you see these Gallup polls and they do things and they tell you about engagement or happiness or happy employees make good employees,
that's
possible. Okay, so it's not impossible, but it's not causal. So if you truly want to, and I love, this is for CFOs out there who are looking for that not just a feel-good moment, but what's the ROI in this, is mm-hmm. this. When you study cohesion, and you measure it, and I have the opportunity to do that because I built an assessment tool through my doctoral research that will do this. You can prove that when cohesion is present, you get performance. It's a causal phenomenon, and it's been proven through the literature for 30, 40, 50 years worth of research. So it's not brand new research, but it's about bringing it forward. And what it does is it says that if you are looking for committed employees or engaged employees, you want to measure for cohesion because when it's there, we know that performance happens. And my research measured it against Tuckman's four components of a group working together for a common goal and those four stages. And just like the one you mentioned where, hey, it's the forming stage.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And if you are focusing on cohesion and you measure from those individuals, and if cohesion is present when they're doing it, they will perform even if they don't know everybody just yet.
Yeah.
But if they're all committed to making everybody feel like they belong, that everyone has value, and I'm going to commit to someone else before I ask for my own commitment, then you have cohesion. It's beautiful. It works great every time.
Yeah, I could imagine. And I'm sure there's, you know, a gazillion credit unions out there who want to have this culture of cohesion. But there's a lot of folks out there that are like, okay, what's the first, how do I get to that? What's the first step? Do you have advice for credit unions out there or even any other organization for that matter? What's the first step to building a culture of cohesion, to becoming a best place to work? Do you have like a step one, two, or three?
I do. And so the book is broken out that way in three acts. Act one is be the leader. Act two is build the culture. Act three is bring it to life. So the very first thing is that the mindset of the leader has to be right. And it goes back to some of what I speak when I talk to groups, when I do motivational messaging, when I do keynotes. I talk about this. You cannot serve the many until you serve the one.
Mm-hmm.
And it breaks down into very complex ways to think about it in different arenas. But in this one, it says you cannot serve the team until you serve the one. You, the leader, have to be right. If you do not have the right mindset, the right thinking, if you are truly about yourself only, you're never going to lead a team to cohesion, because cohesion works from the concept of transformative principles, and I provide those. So in that first part, there's two chapters about be a leader. It's that practical leadership advice that prepares you and says, if you subscribe to this, you're going to be successful in creating the right culture. And then in building the culture, it says, here's why the culture works the way it does, mm-hmm. and it should never be accidental. It's purposeful. And I provide you with steps that help you do that. And then through the consulting work that I also do, I then work directly with credit unions, and I work with other companies. The great news, cohesion culture isn't just a credit union phenomenon. It works in industries everywhere. So I work with companies around the globe to help them bring this into place. And we always start with a leader. And that's why when you said that the CEO is important, it's what is the mindset of the CEO? If the mindset of the CEO is focused on transformative principles, mm-hmm. and they focus on what's important for someone else before themselves, they have the right mind that this will work.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up as well, because I was just reading a story, I think it was the day before yesterday, about how Steve Jobs came back to Apple after he was ousted by the board, but he came back and then they hired him, obviously. And what he just had this single focus of getting rid of all the peripheral stuff and just focusing on like 30, I think it was like a 30% rule or something like that. But 30% of the products that they offered were the ones that were the most valuable. And he just kind of basically trashed everything else. And obviously, and we all know that Steve Jobs could be a total jerk, but what his sole focus was at that time, most, if not all of Apple bought in to him and what his vision was at that time. So as you're talking about that, I'm envisioning what he was going through at that time to kind of set the tone, set the foundation, being the leader, and he had to be true to himself as who he was, and then he could serve everybody else by doing all this stuff. So, yeah,
he could. Yeah, absolutely. But and also too, but I want to make this point too, that you know, when you look at a profit-driven organization like Apple, and if you're focusing just on those product lines and he has a singular vision, there's a lot of great organizations that are successful with a singular vision and really knowing that, and you see them as being popular. But what we are talking about here is the culture of the employee and how the employee then provides to the consumer.
Right.
And what does that look like? And I will tell you that it's very possible that within the Apple community, that they don't necessarily have a cohesive team doesn't mean they're not showing profits. It just means that they're not operating. Because if Steve does not have a mindset of transformative principles, mm-hmm. then he is not building his vision upon the success of others. He is building his vision upon the success of product or profit or himself. That does not mean he will be unsuccessful. It just means he's not creating a cohesive culture. And what we do know today from today's workforce, they want to be more involved with individual leadership that will focus on their success,
yeah.
as well as the organization.
Yep.
And that's what it's going to require. You're not just going to be your grandpa's organization anymore, where you get to go in and say, do it because I said so. Do it because this is what I want done. It is going to be much more team-oriented,
right.
from a collaborative standpoint.
Yeah, and it sounds like what you guys have really captured lightning in a bottle there at South Carolina Federal Credit Union. So congratulations to you guys and all the success that you guys are experiencing. And congratulations on your book, Troy. This is really cool stuff. So I'm
Thank you.
Very happy for you. And we will do what we can to help promote it for you as well. Get out there and get this message out there. Because I think it's so important that the transformation of these of your company and credit unions in particular really mean their future success, because you know the business world, as we both know, is moving really, really fast these days. But if you can set that culture of cohesion, man, you're in the driver's seat, I think.
You are, because you don't have to worry about making employees happy,
yeah.
or being like, you know, they'll become happy and satisfied because what work they're doing makes sense. They like the people they want. You know, we didn't talk any statistics in this interview, but there are so many statistics that are out there. But I will say this one. I'll leave this one for you.
Sure.
Of a global perspective, because I have worked with many companies around the globe through my work with the World Council of Credit Unions, the National Credit Union mm-hmm. Foundation, and so forth. And not just credit unions, but also other companies. And so what we know is this. The Towers Watson put forth a global workforce study. 40% of your workforce is committed. 24% of your workforce are detractors, meaning that they absolutely have no intention of they're in it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And 36% are on the fence. And those are the ones that you get to work with to move them. And what they need is they need a strong relationship with their supervisor, because the number one reason that people leave an organization, aside from life events, is the disconnect with their direct supervisor.
Oh, completely, yeah. Completely. Good stuff. All right, Troy, well, I'm going to let you get back to work. Thank you. I could go on for quite a while here, I'm sure. I want to let you get back to work. And thank you so much for this. And we will put all this stuff in the show notes. And also, my last one, where can we pick up the book?
Awesome. Thanks for not closing out without asking that one. So, yes, for folks who want to order the book, you can go to Amazon. And you just type in cohesion culture in the search, and it's the first book that pops up.
Cool.
And it'll be delivered right to your door. If you see me, I'll be happy to sign it for you.
All right, cool. All right, we'll carry it around I'll carry it around the nation with me until I see you.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Mike.
All right, Troy, thank you so much. Appreciate the time, and congrats again on South Carolina Federal Credit Union success, and yours as well. Well done, sir.
Thank you so much.